Bruce Jenkins is with us. Bruce, good morning. We're having a nice afternoon, a nice late morning here at the Public House. How are you?
Hey, Bruce.
Doing well. Hey, guys. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, pleasure. Well, I'll tell you one thing. The Warriors had a pretty good week, even though last night didn't work out. But the Major League umpires did not have a good week.
Well, they didn't.
How do you explain this?
The thing in Cleveland with the home run was just appalling. I mean, it was a look into how it all should work, and yet it didn't because we're still in the dark ages with this replay thing. But and then when Angel Hernandez doesn't talk about it later, that you tell Susan Slusser you can't turn on a tape recorder, you can only write things down. I mean, God Almighty, we're just.
He should lose his job. You know that?
Yeah. There's a long history of faux pas by Hernandez and his crew. But, yeah, it's a little out of hand. But, it's one of those crazy weeks. And who knows what's coming next. I mean, we got a guy retiring 27 straight hitters against Colorado last night. And the Dodgers losing to Miami. I mean, it's wild. It's as wild as the Warriors series.
It's unbelievable. Just you touched on a bunch of things here. How do you resolve the replay thing? Where is this going? Where is replay going? How do they have to deal with this?
Well, I've heard Jason Stark and Tim Kurchin and guys who stay in touch with the commissioner's office and some of the key guys in ownership, and they think eventually it's heading toward the. Press box replay system that I touched on the other day in print, where ideally for me you've got three guys in there or three people, so in case you need to take a vote, but and it just to the point where whenever there's a debatable play that can be reviewed, you go right up there and boom, you don't send the umpires off the field. I mean, that alone is 5 to 7 minutes just the trudging off and back on. I mean, get up there, get a ruling, and move on. And have it all part of the umpiring, the umpires' union. I mean, the umpires don't want their power taken away from them from some guy in the press box who they have no idea who it is. It's got to be within the umpires' framework. But we need to hasten it up here and again, to get the calls right.
No doubt about it. I mean, Bruce, I mean, Marty and I have battled about this, just in a fun kicking it around style over the years, but... Is it time to reevaluate how these guys, the umpires, get challenged? I know that they sent Susan Slusser in, and she disseminates all the information from her interview with an umpire back to all the other reporters. I mean, is it time to put them in the fire like everybody else? If a player plays poorly, he gets grilled by a whole pool of reporters. Same thing for a skipper. Why not umpires?
Yeah. I remember when I was on the beat in the 80s, if there was an issue, you had to go knock on the umpire's door.
Jeez.
And it was like a speakeasy or something. They may or may not let you in. And once you're in there, you're at their mercy. I mean, and they could just dress you down if they wanted to. And it was pretty intimidating. But no, they've got to be part of the post-game interview process. If there's a request for the crew chief, you don't need them all in there, but for the crew chief to come in, absolutely. You got to face the press, face the music.
How about Field and Culbreth? How about this in Houston?
Yep.
Bo Porter goes to the mound to take a pitcher out before he's thrown a pitch. Mike Socha goes ballistics, and they huddle and let it happen. I mean, it's one thing, all right, that we didn't notice. Did he throw a pitch? We forgot. It was a rain delay. But he didn't throw a pitch. And they changed pitches because the batter changed.
Yeah, this is what I love about both of these incidents is they have this big meeting, to make sure everything's right, and they come out and get it completely wrong. God Almighty.
And wasn't Joe Torre watching the game or something? And isn't he in charge of all umpires? And he just kind of let it happen, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that angle of it. I've been trying to... I'm splitting my attention between baseball and basketball here, which is great. It's a fabulous time of the year, but I haven't been able to stay in tune with everything that's been going on.
Bruce, are the Warriors still in this thing? I mean, I know, it's 2-1, right? 2-1 San Antonio.
That's right, yep.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I mean, after the first game in San Antonio, the Warriors were too young. Then they come back and take a 19-point lead and win. Going into Game 3, a lot of people thought the Warriors would just blow them out, back home. They got on a roll. Who knows? They'll be in total command. Didn't happen. Now everybody's is shifted back to San Antonio. The Warriors are hurt. Their psyche's been damaged. That's probably all wrong, too. I mean, it's just every game is its own separate entity. I will say that the Warriors pretty much need to win on tomorrow. I mean, you don't want to go back to San Antonio down 3-1 at all, but... I would expect the Warriors to win tomorrow. I couldn't even tell you why, but that's just the way things happen, and they certainly have the character to do it.
No, I hope so.
They can look at the Giants last year, who fought off elimination many, or take a look at the Giants, what, 6 elimination games last year? Now, I know the Warriors are not at that point quite yet, but, I mean, they're the underdogs, and they can just look for the Giants for an example on how to deal with being an underdog.
Yeah, that's going to go down with the great stretches of play. 6 elimination games.
Ooh, I mean, wow.
That just never gets old.
Well, this series for me doesn't get old. And I said to Pat, you know, Braves, Giants, it's not Giants and Dodgers, but there's two good teams with a little bit of history. They're in the National League West together. I mean, Braves have been a franchise for a long time, Giants.
Sure.
But these two teams, Bruce, you look at the pitching on both sides, the hitting on the Braves, the bullpens. This may be one of the premier series of the year, a 4-game set.
Without a doubt. I'd rather watch this than Giants-Dodgers. I mean, The best thing about Giants-Dodgers right now is what happened before. But what's in front of you right now, I mean, the Dodgers lost to the Marlins last night. They're just completely reeling. But, I mean, forget about the Dodgers. The Braves are in town. It's a real privilege. I mean, from watching Anderson Simmons at shortstop, you know, he and Crawford are going to be challenging Tulowitzki's thrown at shortstop. The Upton brothers, Freeman's a wonderful hitter. McCann comes back. He's jacking balls out of the park. You know, Tim Hudson, they beat him last night, which is really impressive. And to me, the Braves are a team I would always watch if they're on TV and I've got a chance because they really have a lot going.
Absolutely, Bruce. And we all enjoy a good story, and baseball is such a story sport. And out in left field today for the Braves, a young man by the name of Evan Gattis, and Marty had a chance to catch up with him Thursday or Friday, right,
yeah,
Marty?
Yeah, we'll play this when Bruce is done, yeah.
What do you think about this kid, Evan Gattis, in his long, long journey to the Atlanta Braves and now out to San Francisco?
It's just a great story. We have spoken about that on this show within the past month, but, I mean, you know, just a long story short, this is a guy who basically came from nowhere. He was a pretty good ball player who lost his interest and was wandering around the country, and next thing you know, he's playing for the Braves, and it was inevitable that, you know, McCann was going to come back, and obviously he's come back with a vengeance. So whether Gattis can play left field and not hurt him, and of course, you know, when they're healthy, there's no room in that outfield for him. So he might, who knows, he might be headed back to obscurity. I kind of doubt it, but he's got a wonderful swing. I'd love to watch the guy hit. Don't throw an inside fastball to him. He'll dead pull you right out of here. But
when you take a look at him, Bruce, this is the American League DH guy. You know,
yeah,
I
mean, that's right. He could very well wind up over there because, you know, McCann is a pretty young guy, and you think he's got that catching thing wrapped up. And, you know, with the Upton brothers and Hayward, there's so much for the outfield. So yeah, I think you're right.
He's in there today.
Yeah,
against Bumgarner. He'll be in there today. So yeah, we'll get to see him. Bruce, Don Mattingly, I said he's not going to last the month of May unless this thing turns around. They're playing bad ball. They're not. Fans are not coming out now.
No, it's a ghost town down there. I mean, they're losing. They're losing every night. They're a little bit banged up, but you know what? I feel bad for Mattingly. I think the Dodgers' problem is that they don't have enough players like Mattingly was in his prime. You know, I mean, so many of the guys they brought in they're just not good leaders, clubhouse guys. You know, that goes for Hanley Ramirez and Adrian Gonzalez. Greinke's a different kind of cat. And, you know, Kemp is trying to take over the leadership of that team. But, you know, you gotta produce to be a real leader. And Mattingly here is sitting there with all the history he's had, played on great teams. He was a Hall of Famer for 4 or 5 years. He's so at a loss that after they got swept by the Giants, he said, well, I like what happened here. He's just reaching for any positive, you know. And I don't think he lasts the season either because somebody's got to take the fall, and it's unfortunately it'll be him.
Well, if you do it in May, you're kind of writing off the season unless you bring in, you know, an interim guy. I mean, Trey Hillman. I don't know if you're going to bring him in.
Yeah.
But it's such a high profile job. You know who I think they need? I think they need Jim Fregosi.
Huh. I was going to say Frank Lucchesi.
How about Eddie Stanky?
Yeah.
I think Jim Fregosi goes.